aware that we need more of you. Lord God, may we be aware that we need more of your Spirit. And Father, we thank you that you're so open to us and so ready for us. In fact, the responsibility lies upon us to reach out to you, to allow you to have some of our time. But Father, we pray against that. If the enemy tries to bring in something that's clouding our judgment, clouding our reasoning, Father, to be able to spend time with you, Father, we pray that that is cancelled out and pushed out, Father. In your holy name, make a way. Amen. You may take your seats. Thanks for that, bands. Round of applause for our bands. You guys did fantastic this morning. And let's be praying for Olivia. Olivia is a bit sick. She was supposed to be on the team this morning, but she came a bit under the weather. So let's keep her in our prayers. And anybody else who's got the flu, COVID, that just seems to continue to float around, doesn't it? So let's keep these people in our prayers. This week, I had a bit of a rude awakening. I felt led by the Spirit to spend some time in Acts. And those, obviously, of us who have read Acts understand the fact that it is challenging, because the way that these disciples behave, it's challenging, right? It's a call to arms. They're there serving a God in probably what I would argue to be potentially the hardest times to actually be a follower of Christ, because these guys were responsible for setting up of the new church. Right, you had Judaism at the time, and that was strong and that was believed. But Christ came to kind of shuffle that up a little bit and say, hang about a minute, you guys are kind of, you're starting to miss the point. I have something new here. I have something that it means more than just religious practice. And so when the disciples start sharing about this and start shaking things up, people don't like it. People don't want to hear it. To the point that there's persecution, there's death, there's running, there's imprisonment. And I want to touch up a little bit this morning, because it really challenged me in a really good way. And I'm not sharing this to try and scare us this morning, but I'm sharing it because I think it's important to remember and take a perspective on where we are here and now in history, but also within our everyday lives. Because obviously these disciples had a special calling, right? I like to think of it in a way that we actually have more of a calling of the churches that they're following, that they're looking after. And we have these visitors, and they're visiting these ministries, and they're building up the church, and they're growing the church. But I still believe that this is a blueprint for how we are to serve our God. This is a blueprint for how we are to speak to others around us. And hopefully you get as much out of it as what I did this week. And if you don't, just go spend some time in Acts next week, and we'll see how we go. The biggest thing that I brought out of or was able to take out of this, and it was actually a social media video that kind of showed me and lit something up with me. And it said, you will never see in Acts, you will never see the disciples walk into a room and talk about how much God loves these people. They don't walk into a place and say, oh, do you know how much God loves you? Do you understand how much God loves you? Right? Now, this is important. This is true. I'm not saying this isn't a lie. But when you talk about this, these disciples weren't coming at it from a place of not trying to offend someone. These disciples were coming at it with boldness, and they were approaching it with authority. And you will understand that very quickly when it comes to Acts 3 or 4, when Peter addresses, whether it's Peter addresses a Sanhedrin, whether he has questioned in a council, it doesn't matter. You will see that Peter doesn't preach love. I mean, there is love in what he says, right? As with God, there is love in all things. But he comes at it from a perspective that is very direct, and it is very black and white. And I love it. And it's something that stirred my heart, because sometimes we feel as though, and it is in a way, love is the answer, right? But it's not necessarily, it shouldn't govern how we act at all times, to the point that we're worried about offending people, or we're worried about how it's going to turn out with the work situation, or how it's going to, we bring other complications in Whereas with these disciples, there were no complications. It was Jesus says this, and the Bible says this. That's it. That is what is judging and is what is guiding everything that they say. So we see in the book of Acts that we see obviously the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascends to heaven. They wait in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Right, and they are sent out from there. Peter gives an amazing speech, message, preaching, whatever it is, to these people, and there's something like 3,000 people are saved, bang, first day. One day dot, 3,000 people saved instantly. When we continue to press into Acts, we then start to see that there is this continuous clash with Judaism. Right, Judaism being the religion that came before Christ, right? The thing that God came to stir in the church. He came to come across some of the acts and some of the things about, well, it's not necessarily religion that's the important part here, church. It is in fact, you need to love me. It is through me that you can get to God. It is all through me. And the church didn't like this. The church didn't like, or at least the Jewish church did not like this, because they thought it was through their practice and through what they did that got them into heaven. It was through their acts and actions that made them holy, when it was in fact God that said, no, you've got this wrong. Jesus says you've got this wrong. And so then the disciples are coming and trying to say this. And all that ends up happening to most of the disciples is they have rocks thrown at them for saying these things. The Jewish church despised them, right? And now I know we have our challenges here in the West, right? We do. But we don't have rocks being thrown at us yet. Yet. We're not imprisoned yet for what we say. Look, I do believe, and I honestly believe in my heart, there will come a time where that will happen. God is coming back for a holy and righteous church, right? And there will come a time where the church will have to stand. It will have to be a polarizing opposition to what the world is going to say and what the world is going to do. We have the choice here and now to act in that way. We get to raise up our children in that way and our future generations in this way. We have a responsibility. But we see this constant clash with Judaism. It's just constant, 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 constant. But the other thing that's really getting along, or I guess stirring up the Jewish church, is that now Gentiles can be seen righteous and accepted by God, right? Everyday human beings who weren't born into the Jewish church now get the opportunity to be close to God. The Jewish church was like, hang about a minute, why do they get this opportunity? We've served our whole lives. We've been born into this. We've gone through all the rituals, all the practice. We've served our whole life. But then now all of a sudden we're opening the church up to the Gentiles as well. The unholy people, the people who aren't clean. And Jesus says, yes, my love is for all. My love isn't just for you, it's for everyone. How amazing is that, that we get to speak to this? This is the message at its heart. Most of what Acts is either Peter or Paul trying to argue with the Jewish church, or you have Peter or Paul speaking to Gentiles who are seeing thousands of people being saved at single events and at single times, because the power of the Holy Spirit is moving. Because the power of the Spirit can move when there are people who are willing to hear the word of God there. It moves it when the Gentiles are there. Things happen, things are shaking, like there are blessings, there are healings that take place. But then he goes and speaks to the church. He stands in front of a Jewish council. And they do nothing but argue and yell back at him. And he stands there, firm, proclaiming what Jesus had taught him in front of a crowd of people yelling back. I can stand up here today and you guys, it's great because you guys aren't yelling back at me, right? That's a wonderful thing. But like, I'm just, for me, when I picture that, if I'm standing in Peter's shoes, I am trembling with fear. Because these people want to kill me. Like, they're not just yelling there. You are standing in front of a bunch of serpents who are trying to cause you harm. And he stands there firm in believing in God. Now, look, I hope I never have to come up against that situation. And I hope none of us do. But it's here. It's in the Word of God. It happened. There are people who have gone before. And this is the church that we are built upon. We are built upon something strong that has foundation. And our God is good. So I believe that there is a little bit of a guide here in how to talk, I believe, to Gentile, like people who we know in our life, the Gentiles, right? There's people who don't necessarily know lots about the church and are not necessarily against it, but not necessarily for it, right? That's your everyday Joe Blow, usually, isn't it? And then there's also kind of a guide on how to speak to Jews, right? Jews. People who are maybe a bit more strong in their belief patterns, who may have it wrong, right? God is the only one, right? God is the only God that we have. And I believe if we spend time in Acts, we can see how these disciples are talking in these ways. We can see that sometimes we don't always have to walk into the room preaching love. That we can have a bit of a backbone about some of these issues sometimes, or most of the time. At least for the disciples, it was all the time. There wasn't really. Anyway, I was blown away when I spent a bit more time in Acts again this week. It was just a bit of an awakening moment, because it's incredible. So this morning, what I want to talk about actually is more so about the attitude that these disciples had in this time. Right? The disciples, they traveled with boldness. Point number one. They traveled with boldness. Boldness is probably one of the big things, straight up. And there's probably two big ones this morning that I really want to hound on. It's boldness and authority, but we'll get to authority in a minute. Not everyone liked the disciples. Right, we've spoken about this already. Not everybody wanted to be around them. In fact, people actually just wanted to kill them more often than not, because they were going directly against what they thought that their church and their history said. It was polarizing to what they wanted to say. But then when Peter or Paul would get up and stand in front of these councils, they'd kind of have this reasoning moment followed by a bunch of hatred and rage, right? And at certain points, we see across certain disciples that I'm going to share in a minute, like, this is terrifying for these poor disciples to stand up. But it is through the power and the love, I say the love, but it is through the power of God and the Holy Spirit within us that we are set apart. We are different. And whether you're loud and proud about it, or whether you do it through your actions and through how you love people, we are set apart. And people should notice a difference in you. People should notice and say, okay, there is something different about you. You don't have to raise a big purple flag and say, look here, I'm the righteous Christian. People see it in the small things. They notice you don't swear. They notice you don't go out drinking every weekend. They notice that I like to think of it as that, like you are a well-rounded, collected person. Right? Now, don't get me wrong, none of us are perfect, right? Me included. There is no such thing as perfection. It is through God that we continue to have grace and we can continue to persevere and run the race that He has called us to run. These disciples, these were not perfect men, right? Or people. They were not perfect, but God chose them and He used them mightily. So they traveled with boldness. Even though people wanted to kill them, they still traveled and spread the gospel, right? There are some cases where they would avoid certain places. They'd kind of go the long way around because that's just being smart. You don't walk into somewhere where you know you probably don't really have a likelihood of surviving. But it doesn't mean to say they weren't getting the gospel into those places. They had other ways. They did a fantastic job, I think, of just spreading the story of Jesus. So one, they traveled with boldness. Two, they spoke with authority. They stood before the councils. I want to read this morning from Acts 6. And this is talking about the story of Stephen. And most of us know that Stephen, he did die. But this, in my mind, when it comes to kind of sticking it to the man, I guess, this is what Stephen did. So Stephen was called before this council. And they were questioning him pretty hard. And he took it right the way back to the time of Moses, right the way back to their ancestors, the Jewish heritage. And he basically came out and said, you got it wrong. You're actually doing it wrong now. So it says here, I want to start in Acts 6, verse 8. So Stephen, a man filled full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Sicilia, and the province of Asia. None of them could tell or could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying, "We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." This roused the people, the elders, and the teachers of the religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witnesses said, "This man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs of Moses handed down to us." At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became bright as an angel's. He stood firm. He was bold. And then if we go to verse 51, Stephen says, "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they pulled their hands over their ear. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. More about him later. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge him with this sin." And with that, he died. Now, this is radical. This is radical, radical faith, right? And I do believe the church will come to a time where it will reach this level of persecution. We are not there yet. But when it comes to what Stephen said, Stephen, in this manner, did not have much care for the feelings of that council, right? And this is what I'm trying to preach through this morning. I in my own mind, get worried and concerned about what people are going to think of me when I speak about who Jesus is. I get worried that the fact that, you know, am I going to scare them off? Stephen didn't worry about scaring them off. And if anything, they turned a blind eye. They made their choice to not listen to what Stephen was trying to say. We have the choice to say what Stephen said, ultimately. Now, look, it may not be as in-depth as that, talking about the law of Moses and who Jesus is like that. But we have the opportunity to share our testimony. We have the opportunity to share what is important to us, how our God has changed our life for the better. That is what we do have. We do know that Jesus died on the cross and saved us from sin. We do know that he rose from the dead, that set him apart for all time in eternity, and that he sits at the right hand of God, here and now, in this time. So do not doubt the power of your testimony. Do not ever let the enemy or anybody tell you that your testimony doesn't mean anything. Because your testimony is exactly what God has given you as a weapon. It is a weapon. Do not underestimate what God has done in your life. Whether you are like yourself, Zeke, if you've been born into a Christian home, you have power in your testimony. Do not doubt it. Or whether you have had a radical healing or a radical transformation, God has placed that upon your life here and now. Use it. Share it. Be like Stephen. Let's stand before the crowds. Let's be polarizing. Let's be different. Not just to stir up a crowd for no reason. Let's not do this just for the sake of doing it, but let's do this because we have a God who loves. He is love. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we still do need a backbone as well. So they persevered through adversity. So the first one, boldness. They spoke with authority. Third, they persevered through adversity. These guys, these particularly Peter and Paul, they were in and out of prison all the time. All the time. It, like half of it is literally these boys in prison. And then God just miraculously gets them out. So it doesn't... I love it because it means if we get caught out saying something we're supposed to say, God will look after you, right? If you are proclaiming the glory of God and you look, if for whatever reason, if you get in trouble for it or it causes a bit of a stir, God is there to get you out of prison every single time. He will do it. And he does it in different ways every single time. And often he blesses people through it anyway. He blesses the guards. He blesses the people who are watching the disciples or listening to them pray in the darkness. It's amazing to hear. So they persevered through this. They were relentless in prayer. They were relentless in their faith in God. Even in the deepest, darkest pits, they were down there praising and worshiping God because they knew what they had was true. They knew what they had was real. So God will get us through every time. So they persevered. Another point I wanted to make with these guys through Acts was that they were strategic and deliberate. They were strategic and deliberate in their mission, right? And the way I want to talk about this is the fact that obviously Peter and Paul would travel from city to city, town to town, church to church. And they would often, when they start a new church, when they would plant a new church, it would often be Gentiles. They'd often be new born again Christians. And so then they'd leave. But what I love about this and what it says in Acts is that they went back. They would go back and check on these churches. They wouldn't just leave them here in the high on their own. So I think it's an important lesson to know that when we see someone who comes to Jesus for the first time, it is important to go back. It is important to check up on each other. Continue to be deliberate. Strategize. Okay, how are we going to best encourage this person? Make a plan. There is nothing wrong with making a plan. Sure, we work by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can do amazing things at any time, at any point, right? But it is also worth saying these guys were deliberate. They weren't just walking around aimlessly, right? The Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing, but these guys, they also needed to have that direct purpose. They weren't just wandering around waiting for something to happen, right? They had their upper room moment. They were waiting. They were told to wait. But they now had a mandate, and we do too. We have the mandate to go out. They were certain in their identity. They were certain in their identity. I believe that Acts isn't like Psalms. The book displays absolute confidence in God and the extension of the kingdom. We see in Psalms, David and the psalmist are constantly questioning God. They're questioning themselves, where they sit in this world. Why is the world hurting them and harming them and doing them wrong? And that's okay. We can do that. But when it came to Acts, there was no questioning. This is it. This is the rubber hits the road. We are moving forward now. And the church needs to be of the same way. There was no questioning. And they don't shy from the truth. Because, again, as I said before, I think, and I know I've done this myself, it's easy to try and pretty up, right? Make it fluffy and nice. Christianity, what we believe in, what we stand for. And there are some things that we believe in that just aren't pretty. It's reality. It's what gives what we believe in some truth. It gives it some guts. Because it's not just like Buddha, or if I meditate, I'm going to have better life outcomes. If I don't challenge myself, I mean, if you're going to sit on a rock for 24 hours, that would be pretty challenging. But what it achieves is nothing. It doesn't have an impact on eternity. This has an impact on eternity. This shifts and stirs and grows life. And this is what the opportunity that we get to share. Finally, my last point. Jacinda, if you'd like to go grab the kiddies, that'd be great. Last point. We are called, and in Acts we see that they are called to a greater purpose. These men that were chosen as Jesus' closest disciples were regular men, most of them. Has anybody seen, I had the chance to watch, the TV show The Chosen. Anybody have much of a, have you watched any of that? No? Yeah. It is good. If you get the chance, I think, is it on Netflix, the first season? Yes. The Chosen is, I really did enjoy watching The Chosen. Because initially I wasn't sure about it, but when I started to get into it, it paints a beautiful picture of Jesus and his relationship with the disciples. Straight up, how the disciples are chosen. It helps to create a bit of a character around who these disciples might have been. And it does, it genuinely does feel like a biblical one. And I say that with honesty. Because this TV show, whilst they are just TV shows and they're a representation of who Jesus and the disciples might have been, this, like, I think it's good. So I would encourage you to go have a watch, but I really like how they portray some of these disciples as being quirky. Some of them are different. They all have different characters and different personalities that don't just mindlessly follow Jesus. These are people like me and you, right? These are the followers of Jesus. And we are the people that Jesus calls to follow him. We have a wonderful opportunity and we are called for a greater purpose. And it's not just for the religious high priests and the special people. There was a complete life change for these disciples with the 3 years they spent with Jesus. Complete life change, right? You're talking about fishermen, right? There's nothing wrong with fishermen, but you're talking about fishermen who spend 3 years with Jesus, have a full life transformation, and do nothing but preach the glory of God for the rest of their lives until it ends, right? 3 years. 3 years isn't a long time when we really think about it. Radical change can take place instantly. And God can do this. So when we talk to our friends, when we talk to those people at work about Christ, things can change very quickly. Very quickly. Amen. So how great is our calling? We have a calling. We have a purpose. And this is what we can say. And this is what we can say to the world. You know what? I have an identity. I have reason, I have purpose, not because I'm necessarily any more special than what you are, but because God loves you. God loves me. And let's have a bit of backbone about this. Let's be like, for me personally, this week I listened to Acts, so I didn't sit there reading the whole thing, but I was able to listen to it to and from in the car. Have a listen to Acts. Get a piece, really try and get a piece of what I'm trying to talk about here this morning, because it changes your perspective. If you'd like to stand with me, I'd like to pray with you this morning. Lord God.